This is the MF Cashflow Podcast with Mike Fisher. We pull back the curtain of real estate investing and share the secrets to building the life of financial freedom you've always dreamed of.
Hey guys, Mike Fisher, MF Cashflow. That's right. It could be Mike Fisher for the MF or the motherfucking Cashflow. So Aaron, you got your name of your company is what?
My name is People's Capital Group.
People's Capital Group. And Aaron, so tell me, you know, like, man, like, how did you get involved in real estate investing? You know, you shared with me, you've only been in it for 10 years and what you accomplished in 10 years blows me away. And where you're going with it, the energy that you have is like freaking phenomenal, man. And, just, yeah, man, it's just speaking to you for, you know, what, you know, 10 minutes beforehand. And like, holy crap, man, I can't wait to interview this guy. So how the hell did you get involved in real estate investing?
Well, you know, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad when I graduated college, you know, really inspired me. I didn't realize I had a passion for real estate at the time. And sometimes I say I got into for the tax benefits, but that's not really the case. I did like how real estate has the best like tax benefits, but at the end of the day, I want to own skyscrapers, big, beautiful buildings, you know, beautiful commercial real estate. And I've always had a dream to do that. And, but you know, I got started with the residential real estate, selling houses as a realtor, and it was a really tough market in 2009. Basically, you know, people would, I put the property on the market and no one would call. No one would call my listings. I'd keep dropping the price until it becomes short sale. And I figured out short sales and how to make them work. And, you know, I got started working with investors, and I would call up expired short sale listings and say, hey, I have an investor, a buyer for your home. And I would get the listing that way and make a double in commission. And it was a great way to start making some money. And then I bought a six family with my partner, Seth, renovated it, leased it up, refinanced out. Oh boy. And then started raising capital, buying more, developed a management company over time. You know, made some mistakes flipping houses, made some money flipping houses, wholesaling as well. We did about 60 wholesales last year. So
that's a lot.
Active in that. And, but yeah, I got started as a realtor and found my passion through Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that book. Great, great book.
Yeah, that is, you know, I'd have to say, if not every person that I've interviewed, pretty damn close to everybody has read that Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I'm guilty of it myself. I've even have it at the time. It's probably free on YouTube. I don't even recall, but. But I did pay for it to listen to. I think back then it was on a CD. So today, much different. So today, you kind of glazed over the residential part there. You got into residential. Why did you get out of the residential part? And then, you know, where did you go after that?
So residential was easy to start with. You know, I think it's a lot easier to start as a realtor in this business. Being a listing agent was one of the easier dollars I had earned in this business. You know, there is a certain skill set to it. You work a lot of hours as a realtor. It's not necessarily an easy buck, but getting started, you know, it's really, really good. So I worked for a broker and he was just terribly mean to me and would yell at me and call me names and swear at me. I made a $1,500 commission. I sold some piece of crap home in Central Jersey and he took like the majority of it and told me to read the fine print. So I left there and I went to another brokerage and at that brokerage, there was someone that would sit at the front desk and I had all the listings and he would get all the calls that came in and had the inability to go get listings. But I felt like I was the only agent in the office with listings. And then the people at the front desk would refer the buyers back to me. And they would get 25% of the buyers calling in on my listings. And I would end up doing all the work, which just wasn't a good setup. And eventually went to Remax, built a team, sold 40 houses one year, you know, made some money. Yeah. That was, you know, I finally figured it out about 3 years in. It took a good broker though and a good setup. And I developed a pretty stupid team strategy at Remax. I would pay their desk fee and then they were supposed to sell houses and I would get like, you know, a pretty favorable split on the houses they would sell. Now, the problem is when you're paying someone a desk fee, they don't have much of an incentive to sell houses. So they would post stuff on Facebook of them like reading a book, like how to get real estate listings at like 2 o'clock on a Wednesday. And I'd say, like, you know, guys, you should go out and be exercising those lessons in the book of how to get real estate listings. And we'd have a whole plan for what they need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of reading the book at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday. So I ended up hiring a bunch of agents that read books and didn't list homes and paid all their desk fees. So I figured that out over time. And, you know, that was my struggles as a realtor. But I was flipping houses through that time with Seth. And we flipped probably 50 homes in our career. And it helps to be a realtor listing the homes, you know, finding the homes sometimes on the MLS. And, but yeah, being a realtor, I'm still a realtor this day. I'm with Realty Mark, which is a good brokerage for investors. You know, you pay $100 desk fee, you get 100% of your commission. So pretty good gig. And and that's what I do right now.
Certainly sounds good, man. So how many single family homes did you have?
Well, we probably flipped about 50 single family homes in the last few years or so. You know, we did a lot of inner city flips, lower end and mid-level flips. And we did well with that. We would also buy two families and three families and six families and renovate them up, lease them up and refinance. So we buy, renovate, refinance. And that's part of how we got to our 100 units. You know, we hold on to the multifamily.
100 units. Yeah. 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 Yeah, that, and it adds up fast when you start getting into the multifamily. So you and then you sold off your a lot of your single family, all of your single family, and then transitioned into the multifamily. And then, but share a little bit about the capital end of it all and raising capital. That is really interesting what you've accomplished and you know, really in a short amount of time, what you've accomplished. And what I hear from your story so far is a lot of failures, right? You go out and you're like, I got this great fucking idea, man. And then, you know, somewhere down the road, it could be a month or 6 months or you know, a year down the road, you're like, damn, that sucked.
The only difference between, you know, the people who lead industries and the people who wish they could are they just kept getting themselves up and through failure, you know, like,
that's right.
We all fail just as much as the next person. It's a matter of you can get your ass out of bed the next day and be like, man, I really blew it. You know, I set up a business that doesn't make any money, or I bought a property and paid way too much for it. Or I forgot to do this level of due diligence when I know to do that due diligence, you know? And
right.
So, you know, and it's about forgiving yourself and learning from your mistakes and just always improving. And, you know, a good entrepreneur just builds a system that makes a profit and then just improves that system continuously.
Absolutely.
And hopefully you can afford to not be part of that system, you know, and work on your business, not in your business. Now,
correct.
We don't have that luxury yet. I'm working my ass off and so are you. But, you know, the idea is you build a system and you know, raising capital is the pinnacle of real estate investing. You know, it's harder than, you know, being a realtor. I think getting started as a realtor was great, but, you know, raising capital is a whole different relationship process. It's a brand you have to create. It's a track record, you know, that takes time. And, you know, it's really difficult to do syndications because you're juggling relationships with investors who need to put their money to work and have a lot of places they can put their money to work. And, you know, buildings where you're trying to find a good investment and you don't want to stretch on the purchase. You don't want to, if a building doesn't work on paper, it's never going to work in life. Yeah. So you can't just, oh, well, maybe the vacancy factor will be, you know, 3% instead. No, you know, it's going to be 5. Keep
data
it five.
Don't lie, man. Data don't lie, man. Don't you lie, are very man. Aggressive. You shared with me, you know, that, you want to get a building every 3 to 4 months.
Yes, we want to get.
That is very aggressive for many ways. I mean, just to find a building in your area and then, you know, strategically close to transportation, of course. But then also to get it at the right price, whether it's distressed or whatever it is. And then also to get the capital behind it all. There's a lot of moving pieces in here to make this work. So just touch a little bit on each of these moving pieces and how you're making this work. And I just want people to understand that sometimes, you know, people really don't understand like what it takes to get all of this to get that tractor down the road, man, to and make it work, right? Because it could be a self-directed IRA that somebody's like, shit, man, I want to take advantage of a self-directed. Correct. Or maybe they don't even know about a self-directed IRA, and now you have to educate them. So you know that you have to educate to dominate, right? You have to keep on educating these people. It may sound like you're a recording, pull the string on the back and let it go. But
some days I certainly feel that way. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
No, it's difficult. Yeah. I mean, I'm basically out there building the brand, teaching people how to self-direct your IRA, doing webinars, doing seminars, teaching people what a reposition is, what does it mean to force equity into a building? You know, how does commercial real estate work and how do you ensure your investors are going to make those double digit returns? Like, yeah, it's, you know, so you have to educate the public first and, you know, then win their trust basically at the same time, you know, and it's a process, you know, you're not selling a pair of jeans. It's not like someone's going to, you can't pressure them into it. It's here's what we do. Here's how we do it. Let's get to know each other and see if this is a fit. And a lot of times it's not, you know, for whatever reason. And so it's fine. And it's a process and you can't get hurt by it. It is a sales relationship when you're raising capital. They call it like a parent-child relationship. It's a one-sided relationship where I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you all the information I have in my brain. I'm going to give you documents we use to run our company, like operating agreements and spreadsheets and offering memorandums. And I'm going to answer all your questions. I'm going to sit down with you two or three times. And you might say, you know what, Aaron, I like this, but the cash flow's 3% too little. You know, I rarely, that's not really the reason, but you know, my wife told me she doesn't like real estate. Sorry. But, you know, basically, you know, it's a one-sided relationship. You have to give everything and expect nothing in return. And a lot of times, you know, it's just not the right fit right then, but maybe in a year or two, or, you know, someone inherits money or something like that. Yeah. So, you know, it's about just putting all those feelers out there, being a good businessman or woman and having a good product day after day. And, you know, the money does start to flow in over time, especially as you get a good track record. And then, yeah, the hard part is then finding a good building to put it into and manage that building and reposition. We haven't even got to work yet, right? We're just starting to raise the money, right?
Yeah. And then do it again every 3 to 4 months, going at it again and again and again and again. And you keep, you mentioned you keep the property management in-house. So, you know, we manage nearly 350 doors today and mostly single family. I'll tell you, man, it is not an easy task, you know, and then on top of it to be doing, you know, great thing that you're, you know, you have partners on this too, because you can, you both have your strengths. And, you know, there's no way that I personally would wake up in the morning and say, yes, I love being a property manager. You know, it freaking sucks, man. There's nothing glorious about that at all. But you know what? You that's somebody else's job. And then here's you on the other side for the acquisition and funding and all. And that's a great team. And I really, really, I know, like, I can't stress enough just to be able to, for people to use their Roth IRAs, man, and tax defer this. This is like, man, if you're out there and you're not utilizing your IRA in a maximum way and basically tell the government to fuck off, and so that you're not going to get, they're not going to get any of your money, like, you got to go do a self-check in the mirror, man. Like, seriously, man. Like, there is opportunities out there that, I just heard of another one. I mentioned it to you offline. I'm not going to mention it online, but it's there's another way out there. And I just touched on it just a little bit. And man, I don't want to go any deeper on it, but we could talk offline more about it. There's opportunities out there. There's ways to actually live off of income that is not taxed, and it's all legal. And this is incredible. So getting off track a little bit. So you did
I teach a webinar every month about how to self-direct your IRA. And it is really incredible. You know, how many people don't know, I mean, you're going a step deeper. I'm just regular self-directing your IRA. People don't understand that, right? I mean, it's so, and I didn't know it either until I got to start a real estate syndication company and then just dove into it years ago. So it's a very rare thing. call up, you know, 99 out of 10 financial advisors are going to say, no, you can't take control of your IRA and put it into an LLC that your IRA owns and you manage. And that's illegal, you know, and they have no idea. And it's not because they're stupid or uneducated. It's just not a common thing in the marketplace. And, and most financial advisors, their job is to keep your money in their bank or their, you know, trading fund. And that's, it's not in their best interest to understand or learn about self-directing your IRA. It means they lose your business.
Probably. That's right. So
why would they go learn about it? You know,
exactly.
So there's a blockade there in the industry itself is not allowing the public to learn about it. So guys like me come around because it's in my best interest to teach people how to self-direct their IRA. And we can go buy an apartment building with that capital and you, your IRA can own a piece of the building and get all the benefits of it, but not have to do any of the work, of course. And so it's a pretty nice setup for someone with an IRA or 401k, they can roll over to an IRA. And
that's right.
You know, if you're looking to become a syndicator, there's so much to what $3 trillion, I think it is $3 trillion with a T, is how much money is in IRAs. And I think less than 3% of it, or less than one, or like 1% of it is self-directed.
It's really?
It's like a crazy small amount. It's like 1 to 3% of IRA funds are actually self-directed, which would, you would assume then about 3% of the population actually knows about it. So talk about an opportunity, right? If you can educate the population of investors around you, you know, about how to self-direct their IRA, and you're a resource, and it was a great way to buy some apartment buildings.
Yeah, yeah. So you do this once a month. You have a webinar, and you're educating people on this. And they, is it like a, it's a Q&A?
Yeah, we do Q&A with it at the end and through it as well. And yeah, I do events in my office in Berkeley Heights twice a month. We have three webinars a month. Two of them are just more about, you know, buying apartment buildings, how we find them, how we analyze them, how we reposition them.
Awesome.
And then the other one is about how to self-direct your IRA. And,
yeah, you'll have to send me the link too, and I'll put it in under the video. But go ahead and say it. Cool. How does somebody is like, man, you've captured their attention already, and you know, they got to run out, man. How do they get a hold of you?
So our website is peoplescapitalgroup.com, and you just go to peoplescapitalgroup.com and fill in your information and contact us there. We have a ton of info about what we do here. We have passive investments for people that want to put, you know, their IRA to work. We have investors as little as our contractor who self-directs $50,000 from his IRA to multimillionaires whose inventions you probably drive by every day. And so, you know, lots of different investors work with us. We also have properties for sale. So if you're an active investor, we have a list of properties for sale here in North Jersey. And you can live anywhere in the country and invest in our fund. We, you know, work with anyone in the country, but we just focus on buildings in New Jersey, outside of New York City, that gets you to New York City in an hour. And that's a really strong market here. So if you know what you're doing, you know, you can do very well with the buildings we buy.
Yeah, yeah. And clearly you've already done all your due diligence on these buildings, and you know, people just plug into your system and rock and roll from there, man. So that's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. So you did mention something about the green card thing. Can you touch base a little bit on that?
Sure. Yeah. Cause it's a unique thing. I remember one person paid a coach $40,000 for education and then got on a call with them and talked about how they needed a green card for their property in New Jersey. And the coach said, no, that's something to do with immigration. That's not anything to do with real estate. But that coach was wrong. The $40,000 coach was wrong. In New Jersey, if you have three units or more, your home, your property is going to be inspected every 5 years by the state through a green card inspection. You need to get a green card, and it's a document that says your property passed the inspection, and it's terrible. They send the inspector out to your property with no notice. If they don't get in, they fine you. They don't notify that they're fining you, but they start fining you, and you have to call in to figure out what your fine amounts have amounted to. If they do get in, they're going to write a long list of violations from, depending on what side of the bed they woke up on, and depending on how many tenants let them in the units, and depending on if the basement door was unlocked, and depending on if the shed was unlocked, and they just get into whatever they can get into, they nail you on whatever they can, and then they send you a list, but you really never get the list, and then again, they'll fine you, and they'll fine you, and they'll fine you, and we've bought properties before where, you know, there was a green card violation of $20,000 on the property. And, you know, it's not on title. It's not something that is well known. Many attorneys don't call in to check it, or title companies don't call in to check it. It's not a common thing. Your attorney has to know what he's doing to catch it and recognize the issue is.
Oh, man.
So just, you know, one example of the red tape here in New Jersey and how they get you. And, you know, luckily we know how to work with green cards. We know how to work with the state and the county and the ordinances and rent control. And so, you know, with a team like ours, we're in place. We're well suited for all these challenges. And investors don't have to worry about all these headaches. They just make good stories for podcasts.
Okay. They just make good stories. Like, got it. Yeah, I like that. That's a good one. Share a story of an investor that came to you and said, "Hey, Aaron, I've got, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, $100,000. It could be, you know, a certain whatever amount that you a success story where you've actually educated that person and walked them through step by step by step, and here they are now in the double digit returns on their investment." Sure. And then kind of a timeline of that, and maybe even how they found you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it happens all the time. We work with over 30 investors. I'll give you one of our favorite. We met him at he came to our networking event. So actually this was the Hyatt, a very fancy one at a hotel in Morristown. And we probably met him 3 years ago. He came to our event a couple times. You know, I give seminars and topics there. He really liked what we were teaching. Came to our office. He started with self-directing his IRA. I gave him a custodian so he can connect with that company to self-direct his IRA. And I connected them with the custodian. I gave him an operating agreement that allowed him to start an LLC that would own his IRA that he could manage. And between me and the custodian and an attorney I also put him in touch with, he was able to understand everything and you know, pretty easily. Really, the custodian does all the work. It started the LLC. We helped him with that process as well. I think we started his LLC for him and explained through the process and helped him out as much as we could. So he was able to start the LLC successfully and self-direct his IRA into it. He put about $300,000 to work, and that money is making about 12%, actually a little more like 13 or 14 cash on cash return in a very good investment he made with us. Then he also put another $300,000 into another building where we very successfully repositioned it in a quick amount of time. And that's making some really nice cash flow for him. And this gentleman's a very successful banker. He makes probably $300,000 to $400,000 a year on his W-2 income, and he gets nailed on taxes. You know, he is actually here from China as an immigrant, really great success story. And, you know, so he gets nailed on taxes though, and the buildings he owns with us, it helps him water down that tax burden. So not only does he get cash flow with us, but he gets a ton of tax write-offs. He gets more tax write-offs than he can even utilize on the building, and he uses it to water down his tax burden and his other forms of income. So it's really an incredible opportunity for him. And he works hard to bring a lot of money in for his family and puts a good amount of that with People's Capital Group. And we appreciate his trust. And he's done very well with us through the years.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just one success story. So yeah. And you're out there, you know, like I say it pretty much on all my podcasts, you have to live fully, love openly, and make a difference. And Aaron, you're making a difference every single day. I think it's Tuesday, you said, you're out there doing your webinar and making a difference in people's lives. Whether they freaking pay attention and take action, that's not your choice, man. It's up to them whether you know, they're going to take action. Are they going to be one of those ones that are sitting off on the sidelines and saying, "Well, my mutual fund's getting 8%. Fuck you. Your mutual fund's not even getting 0.8%. Come on. You're losing money. I guarantee you're losing money. Take, you know, all you're doing is dumping money into a garbage can. If you're going to dump it, at least dump it into something that you're going to get double-digit returns. Educate yourself, people. You know it's true. I mean, you see these big buildings all over, and who do you think is paying for these big buildings? Who's paying for the billboards? Who's paying for, you know, all the branding on it? Come on. It's so clear. It's disgusting how much they rip off people, because that's what the traditional way of doing it. You know, it's a the traditional way is that just go in and put it into a mutual fund.
Yeah, well, the funniest thing is I just got off the phone with my financial advisor, and I like the guy. He's a nice guy. And I mean, I'm not even sure why I have a financial advisor, but I just figured, oh, I should have one, right? And but he doesn't really know much about actual wealth. I think I'm more wealthy than my financial advisor. So I'm not really sure. But I have an IRA, right? Because I have an IRA because I'm like teaching about IRAs. I'm like, oh, I'll open up an IRA. I put $2,000 in it, and he's like, I'm like, what's going on? And I'm such a small, you know, I'm surprised he even took me on. It was such a small account for him. But, you know, he's like, yeah, I got a really good formula. I only charge like half a point, and I put your stuff in like some index fund. And I'm thinking to myself, and I was honest with him. I was like, you know, Bobby, I can just take my money and I can put it into an index fund and for $7 on TD Ameritrade or for free on one of these, you know, trading sites. And he's like, yeah, you should probably do that. And I'm like, yeah, I probably should. And I'm just like, I'm just too lazy to go do that, you know? And I'm like, I'm the example you're talking about. I'm literally the example where I have an IRA. I don't really care. You know, I don't put enough into it to care, but I should. I should take that $2,000. I should self-direct it. I should take control of my retirement account. And, you know, I should stop being a hypocrite. If I had a little more money in there, I would. I think it's crazy how financial advisors really, you know, they're there to advise you, but their job is to make money. You know, their job is they're running a business. And at least with guys like us, where, hey, here's the building. I'm going to make part of the cash flow. You're going to make part of the cash flow. Yeah. Here's how we're going to improve the value and make more cash flow and do a big refinance cash out. And here's the big, beautiful real estate it's all backed by. That's just a more clear story. And I think people like that to own tangible assets more, especially if you can drive out to here in New Jersey, you know,
and touch it and see it, you know, smell it if it has a smell, you know. I was just in a few homes this morning, vacant homes, tenants left. Maybe they got evicted or, you know, left on their own, but one of them smelled so bad, man. It was just, so I bring up smell and, oh, that was nasty, man. The garbage sitting in there for over a month or so. But anyway, you get that stuff. So hey, Aaron, I really appreciate your time, man, and your education that you have, and man, just being able to be so transparent. I love that, you know, to bring the value to people. And I want nothing more than people to reach out to you and get educated by you and tap into your knowledge, right? You know, other people's time, other people's knowledge, other people's money, you know, and put it together. So there's three things that you need: time, money, credit, and knowledge to have every deal go through. So you've got the knowledge and the time. You're looking for the money and the credit to put the whole deal together, right? So guys, if you're out there and you're listening to Aaron here and you see a benefit, I even jump on a call with this guy, do his Tuesday webinar thing, challenge him, ask him the tough questions, you know? I know you have the tough questions, guys. Ask them, because it's not, you know, a lot of people are probably going to ask like, oh, how is this secured? And all those questions, he'll answer all those questions for you. You know, what if this and what if that? You know, you can play the what if game until you fall asleep. So, guys, listen up. Give him a call. Jump on his Tuesday webinar and ask those tough questions. Educate yourself. If you don't, and you're sitting back, you know, a year or 2 years later, you're only going to kick yourself in the ass, because whatever money that you put out there, you could have definitely gotten double digit returns on it. There is no reason at all you shouldn't be getting double digit returns on your money today in the real estate.
Get that money to work. We work so hard for our money. Our money just puts its feet up and sits back. I got an email from a bank the other day. They're like, we're running a special Veterans Day special 2% on a CD, which is actually really good. Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is that's actually really good. That's actually very competitive. You know, 2% on a CD is like unheard of. So Boy, oh boy, that's crazy. If I got my investors 2%, they'd be knocking on my windows here.
there'd be bullet holes going through.
Busting it rocks in my window.
Yeah, man.
Flaming bricks, yeah.
Without any of that stuff. So, hey, one more time, how do people get in touch with you?
So it's peoplescapitalgroup.com. All right, peoples with an S, People's Capital Group. Hence, we put People's Capital together. We group it together and go to work. We're right here in New Jersey. So if you live in New Jersey, New York, PA, we're here in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey. We have events twice a month. We have Realtors Building Wealth, which is pretty cool. We get a bunch of realtors in the room that are looking to build wealth, or maybe they have wealth and looking to learn more about it. And then we have a general networking event the second Tuesday of the month. But the IRA webinar is on the fourth Tuesday. But if you want a copy of it, you know, you want to just get in touch with us and pick my brain, like Mike was saying, it's perfectly fine. We are always looking for passive investors, people looking to put capital to work. And we can work with investors from as small as 30,000 up to 3 million. So we have all different types of investors. And, you can self-direct your IRA. You can buy a property from us if you're an active investor. But primarily, my job is to work with the passive investors and connect with them and educate them. And so we have webinars 3 times a month. Our meetup group is New Jersey Real Estate Network. That's on meetup.com. It's called New Jersey Real Estate Network. And our website, one more time, is people.